Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm wrapping up today's daily editorials with Chris Temple. We are recording this almost 2 hours after the market closed. But Chris, we really need to address the really waterfall sell-off that we got across the board that all started about an hour and a half before the close of markets. For the most part of today, markets were flat. It was kind of boring. And then just all of a sudden, we saw the sudden drop and we had U.S. equity markets like the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ all closed down for the day at about 1.5%. The U.S. dollar moved higher. The VIX, obviously, that moved quite aggressively higher. And the precious metals, they really took it on the chin. As on the futures market, gold was down $30. On the spot market, gold is continuing to drift, now down $36. The sell-off all came on the back of comments made by President Trump saying that he is cutting off negotiating with the Democrats for any sort of a funding bill. Just goes to show how much the markets were depending on some sort of a funding bill here. Chris, what do you take away from this end-of-day volatility?
Well, it does go to show that. You know, we've talked in recent days about how a lot of risk assets, chiefly the stock market, has continued to defy gravity because directional traders and others wanted to be invested because they were convinced that there was going to be some kind of a stimulus measure enacted. And when that news came out today, I mean, it was fast. I mean, literally, Corey, I sit looking straight at my computer a good part of the day and enjoying looking out over the top of my computer screen, looking at the beautiful marsh behind my house and the intercoastal waterway and so forth. And occasionally I glance to my right if I want to look and see what some of the stocks are going across the bottom of the screen on CNBC. And I mean, literally, it wasn't a minute. I looked to my right, the NASDAQ was up 50 or 60, and I looked to my right and it's down 80, and the Dow turned around 500 points in a matter of minutes. What happened? Did the helicopter just go to pick Trump back up and take him back to the hospital or what? And it was after that, kind of a delayed reaction that the news came out that, yes, President Trump said he's not going to negotiate any further with the Democrats on a stimulus bill or aid or whatever because of the still weak economy and coronavirus and all the rest of this stuff. And I got to tell you, and you know as well as anybody that I'm neither for nor against Trump. I don't have Trump derangement syndrome, nor am I a Trump sycophant. But what he did morally was 110% correct. Whether it hurts him politically or not remains to be seen.
Chris, can you expand on why morally this is the right decision and maybe catch us all up on why this spending bill is so hard to get through when it does seem like everyone agrees that there does need to be some sort of stimulus coming from the government?
Well, everybody does agree. Fed Chairman Powell, in an address to the National Association of Business Economists today, said that same thing more emphatically than he has in a while. So at first blush, the knee-jerk reaction, especially in the establishment news media and all of their fellow travelers who all hate Trump with a purple passion, was that here's a guy who was flying in the face of the learned Fed chairman and everybody else, and he doesn't care about average Americans and so forth. But here's the truth that very few people are reporting. I've heard very little of this in the establishment media so far this evening. Trump's problem, Corey, is not that he does not want to give stimulus to workers, to taxpayers, to businesses, to airlines, and the rest. His objection is that Nancy Pelosi continues to insist on $1 trillion or more beyond what both sides have in common, because she wants this as an excuse to, number one, bail out underwater pension funds and other deficits in largely Democrat-run states, and number two, to even pay some of the bills for these alleged peaceful protesters who have torn down and burned cities. You may recall, even living up in Canada, that there was a story a while back that Trump told the mayor of Minneapolis to get lost when this guy went whining for money after he became one of the enablers of burning half of Minneapolis down and looting stores and so forth. Trump said, forget it. Well, Nancy Pelosi still wants this money. Or she's the one that's not going to make a deal. And Trump correctly said, no. If this is stimulus based only on the shortcomings in the economy and to people's paychecks and so forth from the virus, that's one thing. But he's not going to allow this to be used to wipe away lots of other things in poorly run cities, largely by Democrats. Now, you can say it's a political decision on his part. I would argue that with what little exists these days, including from Trump himself and other contexts, of any kind of fiscal discipline at all, at least on this, he drew a line in the sand and said, no, this is not going to become a Christmas tree for decades of mismanagement of states like Illinois, states like New York, states like California, cities like Chicago, cities like Portland, Seattle, Chicago, Minneapolis, and so forth. You're not going to get away from the consequences of your own actions by tying all of this stuff to a bill that's supposed to be about this COVID virus relief. So he was absolutely right in what he did.
So, Chris, do you know if Trump has the power or the ability to just go ahead and get something passed more along the lines of what he wants without going through the Democrats, almost sign something in?
Well, he may claim that he's going to do this or try and do it like he's done with what was largely a cosmetic and symbolic executive order recently on pre-existing conditions for health insurance, which frankly, Corey, and again, I'm an equal opportunity pisser offer. I won't piss off the Trump sycophants. It was a sham and a political spectacle. Wasn't much better when he claimed he was going to extend unemployment benefits and this kind of thing. So no, he has very limited ability because at least under the Constitution, it is Congress's job to appropriate money and to decide what to spend, or in this case, how much farther in debt to go. And then he signs off on it or he vetoes it. It's not his job to write legislation and create legislation. So no, he can't do anything. And, you know, I don't know if this is simply Trump being principled and he hopes that along the way he's going to get his side of the story out. I don't know if this is him being naive politically and not realizing that 98% of the coverage tonight will be about him being such an ogre with not a word mentioned of Nancy Pelosi wanting all of these other things, or she would be the one who would walk away. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see. But when it comes to the markets, look, everything got hit. I find it interesting that I think you can make the argument that gold and precious metals got hit even more than U.S. equity markets. Not saying that U.S. equity markets didn't get hit, and quite frankly, pretty much every sector, whether you look at financials, energy, they all got hit on the back of this announcement. Is this a continued trend, I guess we can say, this downtrend that the markets that almost all asset classes are experiencing right now?
It could be, Corey. I have said for weeks, and sometimes I've appeared to be right. Sometimes the market has gone against me when the risk-on attitude came back on, like in the last couple of days or so before 2:30 or so this afternoon. Everything, underscore everything. I don't care if you're talking about gold, silver, tech stocks, kumquat stocks, whatever it is, everything has been goosed higher pretty much in the last few months by the decline in the U.S. dollar and the carry trade that traders have played, where they borrowed or shorted U.S. dollars and they've bought gold, they've bought silver, they've bought tech stock, they've bought whatever. And so when all of a sudden this Pollyanna-ish environment gets a big monkey wrench thrown into it like today, and then a second one after the close, when the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee report came out about what may be coming as far as breaking up Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google, you know, when that upsets the markets that have been priced on leverage, on a weak dollar, priced for perfection, there's only one direction all of this stuff is going to go, and that's back where they came from to some extent. So you know, yes, it may continue. We'll see what happens. I mean, the last I looked, the FANG stocks had not been hit hard, the FAAG stocks. I shouldn't say the word, otherwise we'll be accused of a hate crime. But the FAAG stocks at the close today of the market did not get hit very hard. So we'll see if that carries over to tomorrow. Nothing is going to be done immediately. Interestingly, keep in the back of your minds out there, folks, that it was more Democrats when they had these hearings a few months back than Republicans, who were the ones that really want to go for the throats of Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Google. There's talk of a Glass-Steagall form of legislation for these major tech and media companies, if not outright breaking them up like we did to Ma Bell once upon a time in this country.
So do we need to be worried about a waterfall decline kind of like we saw in March, or is that just too extreme right now? Fine, we might still have some downside pressure, but the floor isn't going to completely drop out of this market in general.
I don't think that it will, Corey. I think that as late in the day as this came about today, and you did have, you know, I think when all was said and done, about a 550 point plus or minus reversal in the Dow from top to bottom. We're going to get some more of this, but it doesn't necessarily have to translate into waterfall decline. But I will say again that fundamentals are one thing, or the lack of fundamentals are one thing, but when you have all of these markets that have been juiced for 3 or 4 months in a big way by the decline in the dollar. Don't forget that since its high, not more than whatever it's been 5 months ago, something like that, you've had about a 12 or 13% decline from top to bottom in the U.S. dollar index. That is a monstrous move in currency markets. And you still have the majority of the participants in currency markets leaning to that dollar side of the boat, even as horrific news, worse than ours, continues to come out of Europe as far as the economy and as far as the deflation pressures that are growing anew over in Europe. So it won't take much of a rally in the U.S. dollar. We got a taste of it in recent days, but only a taste. This can become a vicious feedback circle, and it won't matter if the dollar's rally gains steam and or stocks decline further and that feeds the dollar rally. You know, you can argue about whether the chicken or the egg came first in that case. But again, the biggest market dynamic, you know, the news affects it, fundamentals affect it, but the biggest market dynamic still is that you've got everybody pretty much on the same side of the currency boat. That means everybody's still roughly on the same side of the boat, certainly where stocks are concerned. So yes, if we don't see one side or the other blink on the stimulus thing, and I don't think at this point it would be the president, you see the dollar index go up 3 or 4 more points. You see gold drop another $100, $150. You see the stock market drop 10 or 12% more.
Okay. Chris, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for doing this kind of last minute just to cover what happened to the markets and some of the nuances, even that I didn't know about this funding package and why it is so, it seems like, impossible to get through. And now it's pretty much dead in the water. All right, Chris, thanks for your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your evening. We'll talk as this week progresses.